In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, the prophet Isaiah is talking about who we are and what we should be doing as a result. Sometimes that can be hard to hear, and so perhaps because of that, Isaiah starts out with a bang, or rather a trumpet blast. Shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. God is the speaker here, saying loud and clear that the people of Israel are not getting the message about who they are and what they should be doing, how they should live. The Torah, the Jewish law, is very specific about what God expects from the people, but God's people are not living out the law, as we will see. And yet, in spite of their faithlessness, the people are saying that they want to be close to God. They say they are trying to be faithful, and they are saying that they're trying to follow God's laws, but their actions don't live out these words. And God is not pleased. But what is going on here? Why is there this disconnect between God and the people? If we look at the context of this lesson, things might make a little more sense. Isaiah here is prophesying to the Jews that have been returning from exile. Remember, at this point in their history, they have now been allowed back into their homeland after being in exile in Babylonia for 60 years. They are still an oppressed people, though. Their king is gone, and they're still being ruled by Persia, and their temple has been completely destroyed. Now they're home again, but they're trying to figure out how to worship God and how to sustain their identity as Jews in this new situation. And after living for more than two generations in Babylonia, they are really struggling to define who they are now that they don't even govern themselves in their own country. And they are trying to figure out how to worship in a place that had always been about temple worship. Remember, the temple in Jerusalem was the center of everything. It was where God lived. And now it's been destroyed. So we can see that there might be good reason for people to be confused and to be disconnected in a way. The people ask God, why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? They're asking a question that I think we've all asked at one time or another. Why are you not answering my prayer, God? Why are you not hearing what I say? And in this particular situation, God answers them. Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day. The people are serving their own interests somehow. They're not serving God, they're serving themselves. They're fasting, they're wearing sackcloth, they're sitting in ashes, but maybe to feel good about themselves, or maybe to impress their neighbors, maybe to feel good about their own righteousness. It's not entirely clear, but apparently it's not for God. God knows this. And it's not doing them any good. It's not changing their hearts. It's not changing their behavior, which is supposed to be part of the point of ritual. Worship and ritual and fasting and prayer are not something that we do for their own sake. They're supposed to be done to connect us to God, and to change our hearts and our minds and our behavior as a result. But God says that the people of Israel are not exhibiting any of this. Instead, God says that they are oppressing their workers. They're fighting amongst themselves. This is not at all what God had in mind. Instead, God says this is what is wanted: to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them. Yes, the Jews are oppressed people in their own land, but God is still calling them to be who God has always called them to be: a light unto the nations. They are to help the oppressed, to feed the hungry, to house the homeless. That is the sacrifice that God wants from them. Note that God doesn't say that people shouldn't fast or engage in other acts of worship, but that this worship should result in changing their hearts and their behavior, in making them want to help others. Not surprisingly, Jesus calls for something very similar in the gospel today. In this part of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses two metaphors to define his community: salt and light. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." Actually, in the Greek, it's y'all, that plural form of you. So the emphasis is very much on the y'all and on are, the present tense of the verb. So y'all are the salt of the earth. Not y'all could be the salt of the earth if you did X, Y, and Z, or y'all should be the salt of the earth, but you're not. No, he says y'all are the salt of the earth. He's very encouraging. He's affirming them here. But why salt? It seems an odd thing to call someone. Throughout history, salt has been really important in survival, really, for one thing. A lot of things would have spoiled if we had not preserved them with salt. And it's also valued as a seasoning, of course, because it makes everything taste better. It enhances the flavor of things. But in Jewish culture, it's particularly important because it is a symbol of the covenant between God and the people. Certain sacrifices in the temple had to have salt on them. To show that a covenant was eternal, it was bound with salt. So if Jesus tells them that they are as valuable as salt, he is showing a really high opinion of his listeners. And if Jesus' followers already are the salt of the earth, then certain things are true. They represent God's eternal covenant with all creation. They can preserve things that should be preserved, like they should be following the law, preserving their culture, keeping what makes them unique. If they are like salt, then they can enhance the goodness of things. They are about eliciting the good in the world. And as followers of Jesus, then, they are sealing God's eternal covenant with all creation. And as followers of Jesus now, all of this applies to us as well. The second metaphor that Jesus uses is light. Jesus says, "Y'all are the light of the world." And for the disciples, this probably reminded them of Isaiah's statement that God's people are called to be a light to all nations, helping those in need and bringing about the reign of peace on earth. I think that's mostly what Jesus is about here when he is referring to Jerusalem, the city built on the hill that can't be hidden, and exhorting his followers to let y'all's light shine so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The disciples are to do good works not because they earn God's favor by doing that, No, they're doing good works because those works glorify God, and they're a reflection of God's light. And this leads directly to Jesus' discussion about the law. Jesus makes it clear that he is not about abolishing the law. Instead, he is fulfilling the law. He is the Messiah. His followers live out both the letter and the spirit of the law. This is not empty ritual for its own sake. This is not what the scribes and the Pharisees are doing. Jesus wants his followers to have transformed hearts as a result of following the law. He actually wants them to walk the talk. A lot of you know that I work full-time as the lead chaplain at Winchester Medical Center. And in working there, I meet people from all walks of life. And some of them are very, very poor. One day recently, I was talking with a man who was recovering from surgery. And I had prayed with him before his surgery. And I was coming back after a couple of days to see how he was doing, and he was recovering well. And as we talked for a while, I discovered that this man was homeless. And when he would be discharged, he would probably be discharged to a shelter. His surgery and his hospitalization were a part of Valley Health's charitable outreach, and they had been free. He was amazed that while he was at the hospital, the fact that he was homeless seemed to make no difference at all to anyone. He told me, "You know, here they call me Mister. And I get to pick everything I want to eat at every meal. And everybody's always asking me, 'Do you have everything you need?' You know, nobody outside of this place ever asks me that." And he became tearful as he thought about this. "Nobody ever asks me that, except here. Here they treat me like a king." As I think about that man and how he was cared for in the hospital, I would say that we should all be asking him if he has everything he needs. As God's people today, the scriptures call to us in the same way that they called to Jesus and Isaiah's people. We are all called to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. We are called to share our bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into our home. When we see the naked, to cover them. I think as a parish community, Christ Church is doing this in many ways. But how this plays out in our individual lives is up to us as individuals, isn't it? What does it mean to you to loose the bonds of injustice? When we see injustice, it's often easier just to look away. Fighting justice, injustice, is very uncomfortable, and it can be dangerous, but we are called to do it. Sharing your bread with the hungry and bringing the homeless poor into your house and covering the naked, what does that look like for you? You might not be able to feed all the hungry or cover everyone who is naked, but there are lots of charities that you can partner with. You might also know someone personally who could use your help. Again, it might not be comfortable, but we are called to do it. And Jesus calls for his disciples to be salt and light. He says that they are salt and light. Y'all are salt. Y'all are light. Be who you really are. Amen.